You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. Today's date is the 25th of August 2016, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Matthew Heidmark should be back tomorrow. Again, he's had to go off and do something today, but he will be back tomorrow, and hopefully we will have Ben Raymond tomorrow as well for you from National Action. But today, once again, I'm joined by Heidmark's colleague, Matt Parrott. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing very well. Excited about this big Hillary Clinton debut of the alt-right on the national scene. We've really come into our own here. It's a big day for us.
Yeah, this sounds. This is really big that she's actually going to be mentioning that, and they've been building up to it. I saw there was a piece on CNN that was explaining what the alt-right is to people, and of course they put Milo Yiannopoulos across as him being one of the leaders of it. They never mentioned any of the anti-Jewishness side of it, and to be honest, I mean, the alt-right is just natural behavior, really. I mean, it's just the way that people always lived up until about 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, people did live among their own people. They didn't allow masses of immigration. They did stick to the traditions of their forefathers going back thousands of years. We didn't have this promiscuous society. We didn't have this promotion of homosexuality, all these sorts of things that the alternative right are against. It's just basic traditional behavior, just normal behavior, as it would have been seen a few years back. So she is obviously going to be mischaracterizing it, I believe, in order to try and smear it. But the very fact that she is going to bring it up really does, I think we really deserve a pat on the back for that, don't you, Matt?
Oh, I do. And a lot of folks out there, a lot of our listeners, they've been trolling on Twitter. They've been following the hashtags and raising awareness of these issues. I mean, this has been a long time coming. Milo might get a lot of the credit right now, but that's not where the credit truly belongs. The credit truly belongs with all those guys out there who've been aggressively promoting these ideas, building these campaigns, and leading in the new front in the global war, which is in the social media, where we're able to subvert the oligarchs' news channels, where we're able to hijack the themes over and over and over again. And this isn't Milo who's done this. It's not even Donald Trump who's done this. This is the listeners out there who've done this.
Well, I think someone who really does deserve a lot of credit and doesn't get any from CNN and the other talking pundits is Andre Anglin with the Daily Stormer, because the first real Twitter operation was for Garen Helm when Luciana Berger had him locked up. And she was deluged by tweets, and the majority has been coming from America, where Americans rose up to support their British brothers in what was happening over here in Britain. And she was swamped by this deluge of tweets, which basically she then made a huge fuss about it, and it all got into the newspapers that this politician was demanding new laws be brought in because she couldn't stand to be criticised. And that automatically got a lot of sympathy just among the general people. They were thinking, well, who is this woman? Why does she deserve never to be criticized? And that was the first sort of Twitter operation. And that was masterminded by Andre. And at the time, a lot of people were confused by this. And they were saying, well, this isn't going to do us any good because we shouldn't be insulting them. We need to tone it down a bit. We need to tone it down. But it drew so much publicity. The Daily Stormer is now the most viewed alt-right site on the internet. You know, there's more people that go, as many people that go there as go on Stormfront. And that's just in a matter of 2 years. And of course, there's been Twitter operations since then. But I think a large part of the credit for pushing the alt-right, pushing white nationalism to the forefront as it is now, must lie with the Daily Stormer. And he doesn't get any credit for that in these mainstream articles.
Well, he won't, because they're doing two things. They're trying to defeat the alt-right. But what they're also trying to do at the same time in parallel, I mean, they work in parallel with these things, is they're trying to subvert and castrate and domesticate the alt-right. So Andrew Anglin, Matthew Heimbach, and these people who are actually naming the Jew and offering real solutions and who are serious are being ignored, actively kind of dynamically silenced by the media in favor of Milo Yiannopoulos, Mike Cervich, and these sort of cheeky, haha, I'm just kidding, just transgressing your taboos. By the way, I'm going to have sex with some black dudes this evening, and I'm going to transgress your politically correct taboos. You know, because that's something they can manage, that's something they can handle. What they can't handle is a full-throated, unmuzzled attack on the Jewish oligarchs. And that's what Anglin provides. That's what the alt-right at its core is. And you know, we just have to go through these successive stages where, you know, they attempt to redirect the alt-right. I would be surprised if Milo doesn't end up getting his own show and everything once this thing builds as a way to relieve and remove pressure and redirect from the sincere nationalists.
Well, you're quite right there. It's the anti-Semitic part of it, which is the real vanguard of the alt-right. That's the edgy side of it, not this tame stuff around the edges. It's the Daily Stormer and the extremeness of that that really drives it, that really brings people into it. Because it's a sense of humour that we haven't seen for a long time. But it's a sense of humour that our grandparents would have found just normal, really. To be poking fun at these other races and pointing out where they are taking advantage of us specifically, and it's not doing anything different to the way that the liberal Jewish press portrays us. I mean, look at the way they portray any nationalist groups that want to get together and advocate for our own race. They make out that we're extremists. You know, they will never bring up any of these blacks for saying that they want to kill white people. And yet, us whites, we never say that we want to kill blacks. There's very, very few incidents where people go out with a gun and shoot people. And yet, with the blacks, this is happening all the time. And all we are doing is basically using the same tactics that they have used against us for decades now. And we're just using them against them. And they don't know how to respond to it. Well, what sort of thing do you think Clinton is going to be bringing up today then, Matt? What sort of thing do you think she's going to be saying in her speech?
Well, they're at the core of it will be, of course, the classic, like, these people are racist, these people are sexist, these people are, you know, she'll use the buzzwords. But what I'm looking toward is, which will be far more interesting, because, I mean, that sort of plays to the leftist crowd, to the home crowd. But what's going to be interesting is how much she uses this as an opportunity to shame the conservatives, the GOP, into siding with her against Trump and the alt-right. How much she's going to actually try to pivot to the center here and say, look, conservatives, lobbyists in Washington, neocon think tank types, the people who've run the GOP for the last generation, are you guys going to allow these actual conservatives to hijack your party? Or are you going to fight back? Are you going to fight with me for an America that's still committed to open borders and an aggressive military policy and serving the Jewish interests? Which side are you on, Republicans? And that's where it could really get interesting, because I don't know if you're – are you familiar with the Harlem Globetrotters?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. Okay.
Well, basketball team.
An exposition team that focuses entirely on stunts. Twirling the basketball on their finger while they're running down the court and all that. And they have an opposing team, the Washington Generals, whose job, you know, is to lose.
Right.
And that's their entire purpose, is to look like they're playing really hard and give the Harlem Globetrotters a real run for their money, But, you know, everybody comes to the show to watch them lose. And that's kind of what the mainstream Republicans are, is they, you know, that's their whole purpose. And Hillary's going to ask, are you going to continue being the puppet opposition to us leftists? Or are you going to let this other group defeat you? And, you know, what's funny about the Republicans is if they had used anywhere near the viciousness, the anger, the bile, the vitriol against the Democrats that they habitually use against us on the radical right, there wouldn't have been any need for the radical right, but they're not. They respect the left more than they respect themselves. They look to them for moral legitimacy. They look to them, you know, they're constantly pleading, oh, we're not really racist. Oh, we're not really sexist. We're, you know, they're like a shadow of the left, just kind of following it like a starving dog.
Well, it just seems to me it's like a pantomime, isn't it? As you say, it's just puppet politicians. None of them have actually got anything that they really believe in. And now suddenly you've got a movement of people that really do believe in something, and they've got a figurehead for them. And the figurehead has come from out of the blue. He's not a career politician. He's not beholden to anyone. He's got his own money. He's not been put there by the banks. So we've got a figurehead, and we've got a movement that generally is conservative and wishes to conserve traditional values. So do you think that she may possibly move more towards the centre to try and encourage some of these Republicans over to herself, or do you think that won't really be possible because she's going to be trying to? She's already said she's going to attack the alt-right, so she's going to be attacking you know, these traditionalist talking points. She's already said she's going to be attacking that. So you don't think she's going to be so far to the left? You think she's maybe going to be moving to the center at the same time as attacking the alt-right?
My prediction, I guess we'll find out here shortly. My prediction is she will pivot. This is a real golden opportunity for her to pivot really hard to the center, which is where she's most comfortable anyway. You know, Bernie Sanders kind of forced her to chase him towards the left. And, you know, with all these, like, actually helping poor people, actually opposing PPP, actually being for tariffs and things, you know, the things that Democrats pretend that they're for that are often popular. And this is her opportunity to, you know, be where she's most comfortable, which is a neocon in a pantsuit, which is what she is. Hillary's certainly no dedicated socialist, even in the international socialist term. She's a machine politician, and she's going to try to use this as an opportunity to pivot into that position, in my opinion.
Well, we've seen this over here in Britain. I mean, when we had the Labour Party with Tony Blair, he sort of pulled the Labour Party over to the centre. And then when we had the Conservatives under David Cameron, he was sort of pushing things to the left, pushing the Conservative Party to the left, which meant that it was going nearer to the centre by promoting gay marriage. So you ended up having a sort of politics that was just bland. It didn't really actually stand for anything. But I think that's the old politics, isn't it?
Well, we get the worst of both worlds with our modern politics. It's like with the illegal immigration issue. Like, the Republicans want cheap slave labor, and the Democrats want open borders. So the situation where the illegal immigrants are allowed to flood in here, but they're not actually given citizenship, because if they receive citizenship, they would be subject to OSHA regulations. They would be taxed properly. They would have worker rights that citizen workers have. You know, and the Republicans don't want that. So it's the worst of both worlds for everybody, arguably including even the illegals, where America has a slave caste of people who aren't citizens but who are here. And that's how the oligarchic democracy works.
Well, I think she's sort of looking back and thinking, well, how can I go against this? What can I do to fight against him? Well, I'll move a little bit to the centre and maybe that will sort things out. But that isn't working anymore. That hasn't worked in Britain. We've just had 17 million people vote for Brexit, and that was a vote to stop the immigration. We've had in Austria, we've had all these people voting Norbert Hofer in from the Freedom Party, which they're calling it far right, and they actually had to falsify the vote count in order to prevent him from becoming president. So that's going to be counted in again. And we've got the Front National, who are doing really well. Marine Le Pen on the first round of voting, she won outright on the first round of voting. And again, they had to resort to dirty tricks by not putting some of the party members up against her in order to get the other members of the other parties to vote for them instead. So I think what we're seeing here is a rise of a new nationalist politics with nationalist parties that the left and the enemy and the liberals for the last decade or so thought it was impossible that these parties would ever get in. They thought that they were done for. But now that we've seen this massive flow into our countries of these invaders, and people are waking up to this and don't want this, we're seeing a massive rise in support for nationalist politics. And I don't think the left really knows what else to do apart from falsify things. So this is why I think it's going to be interesting today to see what she says.
Well, they can continue to apply pressure, and it's clear that Trump has been pressured. I don't know if you've seen, but he's actually experimenting with reversing his position on illegal immigration altogether in favor of amnesty backing down even on his keystone marquee promise to build a wall. So, Hillary could absolutely win if Donald Trump retreats from his national populist positions, which is quite likely, quite possible, and it's quite terrifying.
Well, it is. I mean, that's the first that I've heard of this, Matt, that he's actually backing down on that. I was thinking he was moving more towards that. I mean, I know Breitbart, you can't really say that they're all right. They've got a branch in Jerusalem, Israel. But I still thought by taking on the editor of Breitbart as the manager of his campaign, I thought that was a step in the right direction. And I also thought having Nigel Farage speaking last night at his conference or at his get together last night, I thought that was quite an inspired move as well, which was showing in what direction that he was wanting to move in. I thought both of those things were saying that he's sticking to his guns. What specifically has he said then about that he's gone back on about the wall? Because this is the first I've heard this, Matt.
Okay, I don't have the links right here handy, but I promise you it's been a national scandal the last 2 days. In fact, Ann Coulter released her book today, and it was an extremely sad book party, debut of her book, because today Trump is actually walking backwards on his promises, and she spent the whole time basically getting mocked by the journalists because she wrote this book about how he's creating this exciting new frontier of national populism in America, and her key plank of it, he just collapsed on it. Now, with Trump, you know, he could walk that back next week. You know, that's part of the magic of Trump, is you never actually know what he's going to say next week. Nobody does. I don't think even Trump knows. But, you know, it's truly, I mean, for us as the alt-right, I mean, we have options. You know, if he does betray us, which is not clear that he has, we've just got to be on alert and trust no one. But if he has, then we still move forward. This movement is bigger than Trump. You know, Trump has been valuable and critical, but at this point, it looks like he's actually maybe weaker than Nigel Farage. We just have to find out.
Well, I hope that he doesn't go back on these things that he said, and you would think that the pressure was on him in order to have some integrity and stick by what he said. I mean, it's the calls for building a wall and stopping the immigration and preventing Muslims coming in that have encouraged people to support him. And I thought he'd actually worked out ways that he was going to implement this with these tests that he was going to, that he was actually going to give Muslims to, and actually stop all immigration from the Muslim countries that produce terrorists. I thought this was part of his policy plan that he debriefed everyone on the other week.
The Muslim thing is a good, like, he started out in the primaries, we're going to shut down Muslim immigration, period. And then he backed off on that to say, well, nobody from these countries, which are hotbeds of Islamic terrorism, which is a more nuanced, I mean, that's an acceptable pivot, in my opinion, because it achieves the same goal, essentially. And then he switched to saying that he's going to have a litmus test to make sure that they're sufficiently pro-homosexual and pro-feminism. And if they're not, if these Muslim immigrants are pro-gay and pro-feminist, they'll be allowed in. What's going to be the next step in that retreat towards the center? I don't know.
Well, he may be just playing a game there of trying to get people to vote for him. You know, this is the other side of it. He's got to try and get people together so that they will all vote for him, so that he does become president. As you say, it is a step in the right direction, preventing Islamic immigration from those specific countries and having that litmus test. And even if that is his litmus test, is if it's pro-homosexual and pro-feminism, at least that will keep the majority of the Muslims out. And we can't forget that the majority of white people appear to be pro-homosexual and pro-feminism. And this is because of the brainwashing that they've had, because they don't really think these things through. I can't see that that's really that much of a step back. I think that is, as you say, I think that's more of a nuance. But so long as he comes back with some more strong words against the Mexican immigration and the wall, is he still going to be building the wall? He hasn't backed down on that one yet, has he? I thought he'd increased with that one.
Unfortunately, it looks like he's talking back from building the wall even. We'll just have to see. But the bottom line here is Hillary Clinton is attacking the alt-right. Now, she's attacking Trump. Now, if Trump doubles down and fights back on this, that's going to be a huge positive development. It's quite possible, though, that Trump uses this as an opportunity to make a clean break from us and try to pivot towards the center to say, like, you know, I don't know what Hillary's talking about. I have, you know, I reject all this stuff. In fact, I love faggotry and my best friend's a Muslim. It could go either direction now. It's a very fascinating time for us.
Well, he's been quite good up till now, hasn't he? He's just said, well, I'm not responsible for what the fans say, and I'm trying to appeal to everyone. You know, if white nationalists and the alt-right like me, I'm not going to tell them not to like me. That seems to have been his attitude so far. I don't think he will distance himself from the alt-right, because the alt-right's been responsible for the rise that he's had, especially with all the memes and all the songs that have been produced. You've just got to look at the amount of people and the buzz that surrounds these appearances that he's been making, that you read about on the alt-right scene, to see just how important a role that they have played in propelling him to where he is today. So I'm not sure that he will completely distance himself from the alt-right, maybe from the more extreme aspects of it, which Clinton is going to talk about. But even if she does, I mean, what does she think she's winning some points there by doing that? Say she runs down the alt-right and says, well, we're all neo-Nazi white supremacists, and Trump says, well, I'm not a neo-Nazi white supremacist. I don't think that's going to stop us from supporting Trump.
I'm totally, you know, I don't expect more out of Trump than what he is. I don't expect him to be actively, like, endorsing us or anything like that. What I'm watching, and I'm watching like a hawk, is his position on immigration. I mean, he can personally insult me on the air as long as he's got his illegal immigration stance firmly in place. I'm going to keep shilling for him. If he doesn't stick by his immigration stance, he's going to lose me, and he's going to lose his alt-right base. Now, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, he's in the general now. It's big time now. He's got a lot of very smart advisors who are giving him a lot of advice. So it's very possible that he's receiving advice, including from the Breitbart Breitbart guys, who are not to be trusted, to cuck out. And you know, if he's led to believe that cucking out is the way to pivot into the general, then it could be very interesting for us.
Well, you've also got the worry that that they may stitch him up, that the votes will be counted wrong, that he'll be robbed of his constituency, he'll be robbed of being president, rightful president, because the Democrats mess around with the voting machines or what have you. There is a question of this happening. So, you know, if he does pivot, he may be thinking, well, you know, if I stick to my more extreme views, then they're going to stitch me up anyway, and the Republican Party are going to refuse to support me. So, you know, he may be thinking that. You just don't know, do you? You just have to say, well, do you think he has integrity? I think he does have integrity. He comes across to me as if he means what he says. And I think he has stuck mainly to what he has said. He has added some nuance to it. Well, we'll have to see whether it is just the opposite or whether it's just got a little bit more nuance to it and it still leaves wiggle room for him to go back to doing what he said he would do if he does actually get elected president.
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm not making any final determinations here. It's just a very tense time for us because this could go any number of different directions. But what I will say is this, is that if he is planning to betray us, if he is ready to completely capitulate and actually kind of pull a Nixon China thing where he, as the seeming champion, actually directly betrays us with an act of amnesty, if that's his plan, then I would much rather have Hillary elected. I would much rather all of us pull up our support the minute he firmly states that position, and we just have a simple enemy. You know, it's much better that Barack Obama won last time around than having Mitt Romney superficially seeming like he's on our side while not being on our side. It's much better to have a simple declared opponent.
Yeah, I can understand that. Even though Mitt Romney was white, he was still promoting all the damaging things that the government do against us. So, well, I've been two thoughts on that one. But has he really said that he's going to give an amnesty to illegal immigrants? Is that something that he's actually said?
Yes. He actually said he's going to deport the criminals, and the ones who are law-abiding and pay their back taxes are going to have a fast-track to citizenship.
But surely they're criminals anyway if they're not here legitimately.
Well, that's why, you know, and there's this thing with Trump where if you follow him on Twitter, he's got one message. And if you follow him on the cable news interviews, he's got a completely different message, and it's very disturbing.
Well, I would suggest that the Twitter message is probably more truthful, and the cable news is for the people that just watch the television and believe everything the television tells them. I think that's probably quite clever of him.
I don't know who's doing who here. maybe we're the ones getting played. I don't know. But if we stick to a simple and consistent message, stay on our platform of being nationalist, populist, and naming the enemies, including the Jew, we can't go wrong. The only way we can go wrong here is if we follow somebody who's actively opposing our core beliefs and values. And we just have to wait and find out.
Well, we have to hold his feet to the fire to ensure that he does stick to what he's saying. I mean, he must know that it's his more extreme aspects that are drawing people to him. I mean, more people have turned out to vote for him in the Republican Party than ever before in the entire history of the Republican Party. So he knows what it is that's driving the support for him. I mean, surely
his clever advisors are telling him that they love you. They love your charisma. And now that you're in the general election, you need to take that same charisma and have a more moderate message with it, and you'll cruise to victory. Yeah. I mean, is this a cult of personality or is this a political project is the question. I mean, up until now, it's been simple. It's been both, right? I mean, he's for building a wall, making it 10 feet higher every time somebody asks about it. And he's charismatic. But how do we respond if there's a divergence there? Which side do we believe? How, you know, and that's what I'll be watching for. I'm more curious about Trump's response to Hillary's speech than Hillary's speech itself.
Well, I was just going to say, he's only got to open up Google Images to see why people support him. And it's not because of the charisma. Open up Google Images and he'll see all these pictures of the wall being built and Trump the Crusader, Trump the Magnificent. You know, that's not based on his charisma. That's based on his stance of protecting America. And implicitly with that is protecting white America. And you got David Duke and all David Duke's support for him. And hopefully David Duke will get elected as well and draw some of the heat away from Donald Trump. Well, it's certainly all up in the air for now anyway. I believe that Hillary Clinton will be coming on stage to give her speech about half an hour after we finish here, Matt. So in a couple of hours' time, we should know what she said and possibly know what his response is. So thank you for coming on once again. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And Matthew Heimbach should be back tomorrow with Ben Raymond for you, so you can look forward to that. So I'll say goodbye for now and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArian.com.